Former chair of the Sky and Space Intergroup of the European Parliament, I had the occasion to attend some of the ESPY events, and to come back here gives me the pleasure to verify how ambitious our vision for a European space policy has been. In my engagement at the European Parliament in my two mandates, I had a growing interest into space studies for the wealth of applications and promising tools that were being developed. So I got increasingly involved, and I ended up my work at the EP with the assignment of the responsibility of speaker for the Copernicus funding legislation. My direct interests were into the environmental problems, and it was clear that space observation was becoming an indispensable tool for understanding environmental problems and obtaining quantitative observation of an increasing number of parameters with an increasing accuracy and effectiveness. The concept of sustainability has been around for some time. While searching for the first use of the word, I found an interesting story. The term sustainability originally comes from the field of forestry in Germany. In 1713, Hans Karl von Karlowitz from Sachsen, the chief mining administration in Freiburg, thought about how to guarantee a permanent supply of timber, which was needed to build the silver mines. His idea was not to fell more trees than could grow back. He spoke of nachhaltende Nutzung, a term that began to be used in works on forestry and was translated into English as sustainable use. From this economic standpoint, an independent discourse developed within the scientific community. The term sustainability did not really catch on until 1987, however, when the former Norwegian Prime Minister Gro Harlem Brundtland submitted her Brundtland Report for the United Nations. The report contained a definition of sustainability that many politicians and scientists still agree with today, namely that development is sustainable if it meets the needs of the present without compromising the ability of future generations to meet their own needs. I've spent a great part of my political career in promoting a wider awareness of what sustainable development means and entails. As a scientist, my interpretation of the concept cannot be decoupled from the search for a larger observation point of the existing dynamics, a higher dimension, so to speak, that can only be attained from space. Everyone here today shares these perspectives, I guess. As a believer, I'm certain that only from us the inspiration will come to us for the solution of very complex problems like adaptation to climate change. Many of you will remember our efforts to set up from a declaration known as the Baveno Manifesto, the GMES Initial Operation Program, transforming some scientific demonstration projects into a fully fledged scientific program destined to become the most advanced space industrial program, Copernicus. The motivation was originally to ensure environment and citizens' safety through the monitoring of land, air, and sea. Galileo and EGNOS added to the European Space Ambitions agenda the project of a European navigation system. We also faced the concern for satellites' security with the SST program, a system for tracking all space debris that is becoming a worse problem. It was also the time for addressing at global level the issue of sharing the use of outer space through several attempts to agree on an international space code of conduct. as chair of the European delegation for the relation with South Africa, I also supported the implementation of the specific project GMES and Africa, aiming at giving African countries the chance to harness the benefits of space systems for their development. The communication satellites, on the other side, can make remote areas accessible and link their inhabitants with the rest of the world. I will not linger on the success of these tools. I have been convinced for a long time that there is no development if there is no maintenance of our planet, deeply linked with the role of stewardship, hence the care for existing and future generation, which is the core of sustainability. Space technologies can be of tremendous help in this mission. They can support the implementation of several policies, from urban development to maritime traffic, to energy solution, tourism, health, and much more. In the light of recent dramatic earthquake in central Italy, I was thinking how useful the Copernicus satellites have been for the assistance of the relief teams, but also how precious information the regular monitoring of the surface can produce, maybe from the registration of soil modification, water basins changes, animal behavior. Some pre-warning sign can be obtained to timely alert population in case of danger. The Visetter data after the quake of last August has in some areas shown a vertical displacement of 30 centimeters and an east-to-west displacement of 16 centimeters with 1 centimeter accuracy. That is very important. The tectonic displacement in the area is of the order of 5 millimeters per year, which is in the range of sensitivity of the technology. It is therefore very important to follow other phenomena that could be related to mounting earthquakes, and again we point to space. Encouraging results have been obtained by detecting variations in the ionosphere as electromagnetic fields and particles, probably due to very low frequency electromagnetic emission from the Earth's crust. A cooperation between Italy and China is now underway. The first satellite will be launched in China next year, and 2 years later, a second one will be launched. And then we have to wait. I don't know what to wish for, if quick or later quick. Satellite observations can tell us much about the condition of our cultural heritage to prevent, of course, disasters. I'm not only referring to ancient temples and old palaces, but to our cultural identity stemming from our lands, our rivers, our towns, our mountains, shaped through human history and activities. To make people aware of these lands means to provide them with a tool for evolution. I share the proposal of Millennium Development Goal, intended to empower developing countries to master and facilitate the access to space observation as a preconditioning to environment management. But now we have to consider the new challenges that we have to confront with. Sustainability summarized in global warming and the ensuing climate change that pose new problems to both developing and developed countries. Therefore, the access to space infrastructures is of primary importance to all the continents and countries. The main changes in climate we can expect can be summarized in less but more intense rains that imply also longer dry periods. Intense rains means higher change of land erosion and landslides. Longer droughts mean a higher risk of desertification on one side and higher risk of fire, especially for forests. A constant flow of data is then necessary to orient the territorial care that is specifically requested. A basic need is to increase the retention times for water, that is, with a widespread use of terraces that allow a deeper penetration of water into the soil to the benefit of vegetation and to mitigate soil erosion. The amount of water that can be forecasted and estimated, and the data used for downstream areas preparation that could include rivers and brooks for possible further water retention increase. This is specifically important in areas prone to desertification in conjunction with implants or drought-resistant plants. For forests, satellite data could be extremely useful for fire alarm and early action, but even more for risk control. This implies a continuous monitoring of the amount of biomass accumulated that represent the fire load. The forests, in addition, should be cleared of fallen trees and branches. These characteristics can be monitored and data could be used to clean and thin the forest. I think that this is particularly important if there is the possibility of collecting the biomass and feeding it with gasification plants, thus making possible the production of clean and sustainable energy. By the way, I think that this is the only way to really afford the land care. Satellite data can supply the information on carbon sequestration and keep the process positive even in fire risk control with an overall environmental advantage. Preliminary estimates point to a potential of more than 1 ton of oil equivalent per hectare per year. Clearly, energy exploitation is not the only choice. The biomass could be used in cascade for construction and furniture production, then for chemistry in replacement for oil, and then for energy production that could further guarantee the overall sustainability of the process. Similarly, satellite observation of rainforests allow to measure the amount of carbon stored and the level of conservation that substantially allow the measurement of this service to the entire globe. Therefore, this could be the basis of the compensation, for instance, from carbon taxes, to recognize in concrete this global service that these countries offer to the globe. Now, a space strategy for Europe is in preparation, and it is a time for choices. The contribution of space to Commission priority are listed. First, a deeper and fairer internal market with a strengthened industrial base. Second, jobs, growth, and investment, space and all industries, building of satellite services. Third, energy union, climate, transport, energy. The digital single market, telecommunication, data economy. And fifth, migration, border control, global disaster and crisis management. Sixth, the EU as a stronger global actor. I'm not going into detail, but I think that the two options that are written in that document summarize the choices. The option one, we could entitle business as usual, and option two, which I definitely prefer, express a broader vision and involvement, and I hope that this direction will be taken. Let me also remind that the involvement could include developing countries that could profit of our data without a substantial burden for us, but with a very substantial aid to them. Needless to say that we have to find a balance between public participation that has been indispensable to start and guarantee an independent access to space, and private initiatives that has to be involved to make space a widely accepted and used technology. Of course, we should also give more chances to startups and young entrepreneurs to develop new products. Space is a sector congenial for the digital society. Granted, we should better support our industry and research, maybe by supplying more economic stability, more defined plans for the future, legal centeredness, including more protection and at international level. Why is the space sector, now that it has become so popular around the world, not subject to any trade rules? This is the way to defend our European standards of excellence and make them a model for the rest of the world. Growth and jobs, the mantra of these days, are not new resolutions. All we did in the past was certainly geared toward the creation of everybody's well-being. Maybe today we can offer much more by making stock of what we have, by recognizing our strengths and our weaknesses, and by creating the condition to preserve this world. We are helping humankind toward a harmonious evolution. At least this is the hope I see when I look at the sky. Thank you.